So this is the third week of Advent. We've been preparing ourselves and retelling the stories of preparation to one another as we expect God to come among us in some way, as we wait for the birth of the Son of Mary, but also for the Christ, the one who comes into our midst and brings God's way to every corner of the earth. This week I read a description of Advent that said this: Advent is the waiting church, anxiously standing on her tiptoes to see over and around the noise and confusion of the world, to catch a glimpse of the amazing things that God can do in this world. Standing on our tiptoes amidst the noise and chaos to see what God can do. This was from a pastor in Texas. Are we not standing on our tiptoes, anticipating something God is going to do among us? Perhaps waiting for a miracle. This Wednesday, there was a group of folks who gathered to watch Miracle on 34th Street on Wednesday. I think many of you might know this favorite Christmas classic. 1947 was the release date, perhaps one of our older movies we're looking at, and center stage is the question of miracles. How do we understand them, and how does the world around us see them? You remember the film, there's a single mother who's working at Macy's, and she has a, if you will, precocious daughter, and they find themselves looking at this concept of miracles through the arrival of Kris Kringle into their lives. Wonderful name. It's even up until the end that his ways keep them guessing, trying to figure out exactly what's going on. Would you sit back and watch just a little bit of this? This is the end of the movie. Let's see how miracles come together. It seems almost impossible, doesn't it? The way things come together by the end of the movie. If you remember, she has asked for a particular house. She's even shown the picture. I want it to look like this, with the swing in the yard and my room to look so. That's why we find her upstairs and looking out the window. Is the miracle what she came to expect? Almost impossible. It only happens in the movies. Right? When we come to think about miracles, we often think about the feeding of the 5,000. Or we think about that near-fatal car accident, you know, the one that no one should be able to get out, but the person walks out of the car almost unscathed. Or we think about those incredible healings, the kind that we see on 60 Minutes or one of those such TV shows. We think of biblical miracles, or at least miracles of biblical proportions. But those are not the only kind of miracles through which God works. God is still working on each and every one of us, showing God's presence in the ordinary and the mundane. We hear Mary's miracle today, an ordinary miracle of becoming a mother with some extraordinary pieces. The gospel lesson gives voice to Mary's amazement and her rejoicing in the hearing of her miracle, a miracle that seems impossible at first, and then upon further ponderance, incredible. as we were lighting the Advent candles today, you might have noticed they're primarily purple, but the one that we lit today was pink. Pink this Sunday is Gaudete Sunday. That is joy-filled Sunday. It is Mary's joy, depicted by the pink candle. Mary's joy that is captured in her song that Tom read for us in the Magnificat. The one that teaches us an incredible but simple truth. We cannot receive a gift unless we have a place for it in our life. We can't learn unless we realize we don't know it all. We can't receive love until we realize there's something empty and missing in our own lives. Making room is a part of the physical work of pregnancy. I can speak to this just a little bit. A woman's body, which is full and complete before the carrying of a child, somehow makes more room for the physical needs of supporting that baby. There was a fully complete person before and a fully complete person after, and yet there is room that needs to be made in multiple places. In the same way, a family must make room when a child is arriving. A family who is full and complete before the birth of a child makes room to nurture and to raise a child, time and space, emotion and mindset. The irony is, this work is not completed when a child is born. Many of you know it is the dance of years of making room for what it is to have children in your lives. Mary makes room not only for Jesus in her body, but also in her mind, in her heart, in her soul. All children are special, don't get me wrong, but this one was particularly special, perhaps different even. She had to make room in her soul for the unbelievable announcement that this was God's son whom she was to carry. The author Madeleine L'Engle says this Advent is an irrational season when love blooms bright and wild. Had Mary been filled with reason, there would be no room for the child. Perhaps there's times in our lives when we are too filled with reason to carry the Christ child, to retell the miracles of our lives. It's like the full bookcase that can't receive an additional book. I have that problem. It's like a full schedule that can't make room for God. That one resonates too. It's like a full heart that doesn't know how to prepare and receive the one who is coming. Miracles sometimes pass us by because we have no room to ponder them, to receive them. The theologian Friedrich Buchner says it this way: a miracle is when the whole is greater than the sum of the parts. That is to say, when 1 + 1 = 1,000. Not the 2 our math teachers would expect it to. And the great scientist Albert Einstein, who saw more than his share of miraculous discoveries, suggests this practical course. There are 2 ways to lead your life. The first, as if nothing is a miracle. The second is as if everything is a miracle. This morning at the 8:30 service, we baptized Mason Robert Hendrickson, one whose story certainly contains miracles. If you remember, it was not so long ago that Kelly, his mother, shared her testimony of his birth with us during our stewardship season. Just after Mason's birth, she found her own life was in danger, slipped into a harrowing time in which fear was more prevalent than the oohs and the ahs that you want to hear at the time of a new baby. It was the miracle of modern medicine that allowed her to be celebrating his baptism today. It was the wisdom of medical professionals, the prayer of the faithful, and the grace of God that showed our congregation a miracle just 4 months ago. Good day to be celebrating those miracles among us. Miracles need to be retold and retold. The prophet Isaiah started with these words. Did you catch them? I recount, I retell, I remember. To a community who was in exile, those who didn't necessarily feel God's presence needed to be told again about the long history of God's faithfulness. Miracles are God's redeeming work. Isaiah rehearses and retells those miracles, even though these are the same people who, remember, the people who've walked in darkness have seen a great light. They needed to hear again about God's faithfulness. I'm not sure that's so different from you and I. Those who have walked in darkness, who have indeed seen a great light, and find ourselves asking, is God still working in my life? Is God still moving in ways that I can understand? From a most unlikely source, we have more wisdom about miracles. Those of you who have young children might be familiar with the series, An Unfortunate Series of Events. Lemony Snicket says this about miracles. Who knew he would be quoted in church? Miracles are like meatballs. Because no one can exactly agree on what they're made of, where they come from, or how often they should appear. Some people say a sunrise is a miracle because it's somewhat mysterious, often very beautiful. Other people say it's a fact of life. It happens every day and far too early in the morning. Some people say that a telephone is a miracle because you can talk with someone thousands of miles away. Others say it's a manufactured device out of metal parts and circuitry wires that are easily cut. So, you might think that there are many miracles in the world, so many you can barely count them. Or you might think there are so few that they're barely worth mentioning. Depending on whether you spend your mornings gazing at the beautiful sunset, or, like the character in the book, lowering yourself into a back alley with a rope made out of towels tied together. Miracles, I'm sure, come in all kinds of varieties. It's the good work of preparing during Advent for us to open our eyes to how it is that God is moving among us. When we commit ourselves to seeing, that is the time we notice God's movement. Those are the times we tell the stories of God's miracles. We notice with delight when we see God in our presence, perhaps in the birth of a baby that was fresh this morning, but perhaps also in the surprise of a teenager who asks, "How could I be helpful?" Perhaps we see God in the health of remission, or in the pleasantness of a usually grumpy next-door neighbor. We never know what kind of miracles we might experience. But I wonder, have you known a miracle? Have you seen God moving in your very presence? These miracles need retelling. God's people here and beyond these walls need reminding. So as you go into the world this week, share the miracles of God with someone who needs to hear them again, someone who needs to hear about God's nature and God's presence, and most certainly about God's love. This, my friends, is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen.